Once again, thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. It is now time for us to reflect, as Jason prayed earlier, on ourselves, to examine ourselves, to challenge ourselves, and in just a moment, we'll get into the lesson together. Before we do that, though, I do want to make mention that today is the first time my sweet mother-in-law, since her surgery, her shoulder surgery replacement, is able to be with us. So, Miss Margaret, it's great to see you this morning. And they want you to know they thank you so much for the prayers, the encouragement, everything. And she can give out hugs, just gentle ones. So be mindful of that. But church, what a blessing it is to be a part of this place. You know, I guess here we are at the end of the year, right? It's a time that many of us, if you don't do this, I would encourage you to reflect where you are. A few times a year, I try to examine my own self. So I'm not going to tell you something. I'm challenge you with something I'm not trying to preach as well or do myself as well. But I try to examine myself and say, hey, Terry, where are you? Can you do better? I can always do better. And that's the thing. When we examine ourselves, we're going to find that we can do better. But I would guess a lot of that's going on. And then somewhere in between, there may be some resolution, right? That we're going to be better. We're going to live better. We're going to study better. We're going to pray better. We're going to worship better. Attend Bible class better, etc., etc. And so today is not your typical maybe end of the year reflection lesson, but it is going to require us to examine where we are. But with it, I want to give you some hope. I want us to look at what the Bible says, and I want us to remember. You know, we've done a lot of gift giving, and some of you may not be done yet. I don't know. But there's been a lot of gift giving and a lot of gift receiving. And today I want to talk about a gift that we do not want to lose. I want to ask you, have you ever lost a gift? Something that you've been given, have you ever lost a gift? You know, I can't really per se remember. I probably have. It's been a lot of years now, a lot of Christmas past that I have probably forgotten. But I can remember one time my son, when he was little, receiving a gift, and we were in the car, and he had opened it in the car, probably told him, please be careful, and it had a firing missile or something to that effect, and he fired the missile in the car, and it went behind the dash where the mirror, the windshield meets the dash, and we couldn't get it back. That was a bad day for him. Just got the toy, just launched the missile, and now he's lost the missile forever. He wanted us to tear the car apart to get it, but you know, maybe you have stories like that. Maybe I have stories like that. But when it comes to a gift, when it comes to things that have been given to us, those are temporal, right? But there's been given to us a gift that we don't want to lose. Again, as we come to the end of another year, it's the season of reflection. Maybe you're going to look back and you're going to see some victories. I hope we do. I hope we see some victories, right? Chances are you're going to see some defeats. There's going to be joys, there's going to be sorrows, there's going to be answered prayers, there's going to be prayers that we're still waiting to be answered. Some of us are going to end the year, hopefully all of us. That's the challenge we have today. We're going to end the year stronger than when we began it. It doesn't seem like January's been that long ago, but it has. In this year, are we better now? Are we stronger now than we were when we started? You're going to know people
that are limping to get to the finish line. But whether this year has been cruel, whether this year has been kind, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, it's where we'll be today, reminds us about this gift I've been talking about. This one possession, this one gift, this one reality that we cannot afford to lose. And that is this. The unshakable, unbreakable love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 to me is a mountaintop chapter, right? I mean, if you don't have Romans 8 somewhere in your, hey, today's been a bad day, let me reflect on a chapter of the Bible, Romans 8's got to be that chapter, or one of them. To me, it is just such a beautiful chapter. And Bo came and read to us from the beginning of it in Romans 8. What does Paul remind us there in right basically in the middle of this book? He says, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now let me tell you, the key is that prepositional phrase in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation if we are actively in Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing that is. That doesn't mean if I'm sitting on the sideline, if that doesn't mean that, hey, I got wet one day and now I'm just sitting it out. It doesn't mean that, hey, I'm mad, I'm bitter, I'm this, I'm that. You know, they hurt me, this hurt me, and you know what? Even though I've been washed, I'm just going to quit. That's not what it's saying. It's the active members of God's forever family. If we are active in Christ, there's no condemnation to us. That means nothing will condemn us. That means heaven's in our future. You see, right here in the middle, essentially, of this letter, Paul has been teaching about wrestling with sin. He's been teaching about suffering, weakness, and the brokenness of this world. Boy, is that still the same today. There's a lot of sin to still wrestle with. There's a lot of suffering, a lot of weakness, a lot broken in this world. But right here, Paul, in Romans 8, gets into teaching about some absolute assurance. So my question to us today, again, this gift that Paul has had us unwrap, that it's been unwrapped through Jesus Christ, right? This passage right here in Romans 8, it's teaching us an essential question. The answer to the question, what happens to us when life around us falls apart? You know what Paul's answer is? Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. To me, this passage, as we reflect on our life, it gives us a lot of hope. It gives us a lot of encouragement. It gives us a lot to hold on to think about, and to carry with us into a new year. As that page turns on the calendar and we go into next Sunday, will be the first Sunday of the year, we want to carry all this with us. And so let's get into it. Let's look at Romans 8. We're going to be down in the chapter now, but let's talk number one here. God is for us. Here's a beautiful thing. We're never alone. If God is for us, we're never alone. Let's read together Romans 8, 31 through 32. It was read to us beautifully by Johnny earlier. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Paul begins this with a question. And most of this passage, most of our lesson today are really answers to those questions. The question he asks in Romans 8:31 is, if what shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? The answer to that is no one. No one can be against us. If God is for us, we win. If God is for us, we're not alone. Now, Paul didn't say there, we won't have people oppose us. You see, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship with one another. Remember, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. But here's the beautiful thing. If I'm in the light, there are people all around us in the what? Dark. They're in the darkness. And so when darkness and light collide, there's going to be some friction. Now, as Christians, we, through love, we ought to, you know, help with that friction or what have you, but sometimes that darkness requires us to not cast our pearls before swine. Sometimes that darkness reminds us that we got to shake the dust off our sandals. Sometimes that darkness reminds us that even though people are close to us, may oppose us, may hurt us, may stand against us, but with God in Christ, we're never alone. Isn't that beautiful to think about? Isn't that such comfort to think about? Paul points to the greatest evidence of God's love right here in these two verses. He says this, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? You see, Paul's saying there, he's reminding us, the cross is not a reaction, it was a declaration. God did not love us after we improved. He loved us in that, and Paul said this earlier in his letter, while we were still yet sinners. Think of that. You know, he also says there in Romans 5, as he's saying that, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What he's saying is, there are not many people out there that are righteous that we're going to line up to die for. Evil, worthless, sick, twisted, evil people. Who's going to stand in line to die for them? Hey, I'll give my life for this nasty criminal over here. Paul said Jesus gave His life for them all. And that's everybody in this room. Everybody in this city. Everybody in this state. Everybody in this country. Everybody in this world. Everybody who's ever existed and will exist. Jesus Christ declared, you can be free because of my death, burial, and resurrection. As we reflect on our lives, chances are that somewhere along the way you may feel forgotten. You may feel overlooked. You might just feel worn out. You know, you hear burnout a lot in the job front. But sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we may be burned out as a spouse. We may be burned out as a, we may be burned out as a grandparent. We may be a caregiver. We may be burned out as a neighbor. There's a lot of burnout out there, right? And you might find yourself that way. But if that's you, if you think you're overlooked, forgotten, worn down, burned out, hear this clearly. God has not abandoned you. He's not stepped away, and He's not finished. The cross is a declaration. It stands as proof that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Are you alone? Not if you're in Christ Jesus. Are you overlooked? Not if you're in Christ Jesus. Are you worn down? Do you feel like, hey, I don't have anything else? Please remember, if we are active in Christ, God is always there for us. Secondly, I believe something we can draw from this is this. If God justifies us, no one can condemn us. Romans 8, 33 and 34. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Again, he asked this with another question. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? There are a lot of voices out there. You know, I have had people say the expression to me over the years, go to hell. Maybe you've had that too, you know, or you know, I'll see you in hell. They're trying to say that based on something I've done, which something you've done, if you've had that we're condemned to hell. But did you hear what he said? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? If I am active in Christ, they can't send me to hell. And no one else can. There are going to be voices out there, right? Voices of accusation. You know, some people just want to see good people fail. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. There are some people so miserable in darkness and light again. There are some people so miserable, they want to watch good people stumble. They want to see them not succeed. And that's unfortunate, but those are voices, right? And so there are voices of accusation. There are voices of shame out there. You remember those things you did all those years ago? You know, how dare you turn your back on somebody and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Or how dare you remember when you did this and our sins have been washed away, right? But there are voices of shame out there. There are voices that are going to remind us of our past. But did you hear what Paul said? He said, it is God who justifies. The judge has already declared his verdict. If you and I are active in Christ Jesus, the declaration of his verdict, not guilty. And it doesn't stop there. He also says, right here in this passage, Jesus Christ was raised from the grave. And he's now at the right hand of God. And you know what he's doing? He's interceding for us. He's going to bat for us. He's talking us up. What a blessing that is. Jesus is not only our Savior of the past, he's our advocate in the present. What a blessing. Do you feel like you're ending this year in regret? If you feel like you are, it's probably because you're carrying burdens with you. Or maybe you've listened to the voices out there. Maybe there are things to regret and we need to resolve to do better at that. But here's, again, I didn't want this to be a doom and gloom. This is the end of the year and you need to hear hope in this. I want you to hear promise in this. We can replay our failures. And we can carry our guilt. Even though God's already forgiven us. We have that right. And we're probably tempted by those voices to hold on to those failures. To hold on to that regret. To hold on to that guilt. But God has already released it. Why would we hold on to it? Judgment's going to be scary. I used to think, man, listen, the tongue's the hardest thing to tame, right? I used to think when Jesus talks about we will give an account for every idle word, boy, that used to really make me nervous. There are a lot of things about judgment as I was in a young state of my Christianity that made me nervous. I'm not nervous anymore. You know why? Because if I am active in Christ, the blood of Jesus already washed them away. God's already released those sins. when on the day of judgment, God's not going to see me. He's going to see Jesus living in me. And that's why we shouldn't carry that guilt. God's released it. As far as the east is from the west, by the way, they'll never come together. The east and west, they're going in opposite directions. He's forgiven your sins that far. He's forgotten them. They're gone. That's why we do not want to lose this gift. It's the assurance that grace still speaks way louder than our mistakes. Thirdly, this morning, if Christ loves us, suffering does not mean separation. It's an important one, okay? Let's read it together. 35 through 37, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now here's what Paul said. He said, you're going to go through some things that feels like Jesus is not in your corner. That God is not in your corner. And maybe at the end of the year you're reflecting this. You might say, hey, I'm going through some things. Does that mean that Christ has left us and He's separated from us? Absolutely not. Paul said, you're going to go through hardship. You're going to go through distress. You're going to be persecuted. There may be famine, nakedness, danger, even death, sword. He didn't deny that there would be suffering. I would love to tell you today, if you walk the aisle and you submit your life to Christ and you're immersed in water for the remission of your sins, that you'll never face any danger again. But see, the reason I can't say that is because it's again, light and darkness, okay? If you come out of darkness and walk into the light, guess what? The dark one, Satan, is going to be upset. And he is going to want to get you back and to turn on God. So he's going to throw everything he can at you. And you're going to be tempted. And there are going to be troubles. We might even get to the point sometimes we're like, God, where are you? Listen. When Jacob, as he was becoming Israel, he wrestled with God. The second deity there, Jesus, the angel of the Lord, he wrestled with Him. But he didn't let go. You see, fighting God, this means I've let go. I'm against God. I'm fighting Him. But wrestling, God, where are you? I need your help. Please give me assurance. Listen, we can wrestle with Him, but you just don't want to let go of Him. Paul reminds us there's going to be those wrestling moments. Having enough faith will not remove the pain. Oh, well, you just need to have more faith. No, it's faith that will redefine the pain. Paul quotes Scripture here, reminding us that God's people have always faced hardship. They've always faced tough times. This world is a cursed world. And without Christ, we have no hope. It's only Christ that makes us uncursed. Paul here boldly declares, no, in all these things, talking about those sufferings, talking about those hardships, talking about has Christ separated Himself from us? Are we separated from Christ just because I'm going through these things? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. That's Jesus who loved us. We're not conquerors because we're escaping suffering. We are conquerors because suffering cannot defeat our relationship with Jesus Christ. As this year ends, are some grieving? You bet they are. Have some in our congregation faced hardship? You bet they have. Some are exhausted, some are wounded, and they're going through some suffering. I want you to know, here's the hope. God has not let go. Don't let go. You remember in Scripture, Jesus said, nothing can snatch you out of my Father's hands. We either believe it or we don't. If I am actively holding on to God's hand, there's nothing that can snatch me out of that hand. Now, I can let go of the hand. But today, all the suffering, all the pain, all the agony, all the grief, all those things, they're all around me. They're circling me. They're there. But God's still got my hand. So I'm encouraging you today, if you're going through the suffering, you're going through the hardships, you're going through the grief, you're going through all that, God's still got your hand. Just don't let go of it. And finally, this morning, Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from God's love. You need to start, you need to highlight, you need to memorize it. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's beauty right there. Here's what I love about it. Paul finishes. He's been asking questions, right? Question, question, question. He finishes this section of his letter with one of the strongest declarations in all of Scripture. He said, "For I am sure." Don't miss that. He's writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, "I got a good hunch. I got a good, you got good odds of this," or "I believe," or "I think." No, I am sure. It's not theory. This is conviction, and it's been settled. I am sure. He names everything imaginable. If you put it all in that list, there's everything imaginable. Death or life. Angels, that's the unseen realm. Rulers, present or future. Powers, height, depth. And just in case he didn't cover everything, do you hear what else he said? Nor anything else in all creation. You put the fallen ones in there. You put Satan in there. You put death in there. You put evil in there. You put darkness in there. You put it all in there. He said, height nor depth, death or life, angels, rulers, present or future, powers, and anything else in all creation, I am sure will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not failure, not fear, not illness, not loss, not the year behind us, not the year ahead. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. As long as we are actively in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It goes back to holding on. Today is the end of the year. I find myself struggling. Hold on. As long as you're holding His hand, nothing can separate us. I find my world is upside down. hold on. As long as you're holding Him, nothing can snatch it. Hey, I find myself at the end of the year, it's been a great year. Hold on. Because those sufferings will still come. The only thing that can separate us from God is us letting go. So as we step into a new year, there are a lot of things uncertain, right? Health, relationships, finances, future. A lot of things uncertain. But you know what is certain? We're loved by God. If we've taken His hand, we're held by God. If we've submitted our life, we're secure in Christ through God. So don't enter this year clinging to fear. Don't carry regret across the beginning line, the starting line. Don't live as though God's love for you is fragile. The greatest gift God has given is not behind us in the past. It goes with us every single day. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I would have received this gift and launched it behind the dash, I'd have torn that car to pieces to get it back. Today, what are you doing to not lose that gift? Have you held on? Have you let go? Today, end the year the right way. Walk this aisle. Confess His name. Submit yourself through baptism. Take God's hand and never let go. Today, if you have let go, I can't think of a better thing to do than to come home and grab hold of His hand again. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. As long as we are actively in Christ Jesus. Are you there? Only you can answer that question. Let's answer it right now. And come, if we need to, as together we stand and sing.